How many of you with teenagers in your house or have had teenagers in your house can recall conversations that go something like this with your teenager? Think about all that I have done for you, says the parent. Think about everything that I have sacrificed for you, everything that I have given you, and this is the way that you treat me? That this is how you treat me in return? By dishonoring me? By disobeying me? And the teenager just kind of rolls his or her eyes and, yeah, whatever. Those kind of conversations ever take place in your household, or maybe you remember doing that as a teenager yourself with your own parents. Does that ever happen? Certainly it's not just in our household that that happens, where there's this back and forth between the parent and the teenager and trying to get them to see things, and over again they offer excuses and want to know what on earth you're talking about or what's the big deal? Why does this really matter? Well, when we come to the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the last of the minor prophets, we see this kind of a back and forth exchange between God and His people that reminds me of that type of exchange between a parent and a teenager. And you have this setting where you have God discussing, talking with His people. And you have this back and forth exchange, this dialogue. And He keeps on coming to them with, this is what I have done, or why are you doing this? This is my complaint against you. And they come back with their excuse. And what are you talking about? How do we do this? This is no big deal. And there are some lessons that are still applicable to us thousands of years later that I want us to see tonight. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, please. And there are some major points that Malachi makes, some main complaints that Malachi makes to the people on behalf of God that we're going to look at tonight. We're not going to look at everything in the book of Malachi. We're just going to look at the main complaints that God has. And this is going to begin in verse 6 of chapter 1, Malachi 1 and verse 6. The first main complaint that we see God bring up to His people is that of defiled sacrifices. What we have here are a people that have come back from Babylonian captivity, and they are living in the time of the rebuilt temple. And that initial fervor, that initial zeal for that temple and for worshiping God has obviously faded at this point. And Malachi is sent to show them the error of their ways. And one of the errors that they're making is by offering defiled sacrifices. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, God complains and says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? And then here's their reply. In what way have we despised your name? We haven't done anything. What are you talking about, God? You offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? No, we haven't done that, God. What are you talking about? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us while this is being done by our hands. Will he accept you favorably? You are familiar with, I would assume most of you are at least, the Mosaical system, the sacrificial system, and the laws that went along with that. We recently went through several of the sacrifices found in Leviticus in the Sunday morning sermon series. And there we saw how the animals that were to be offered were to be pure, without blemish, without spot, nothing lame, nothing sick. These are to be good, perfect animals. And yet what we have is we have this post-exilic community who has lost all sort of fervor and zeal for the Lord, And they are just giving God their leftovers, basically. They're giving God what does not hurt them, what is not really a sacrifice for them. It's the animals that they don't want anyway. And so they're offering the lame, the sick, and the blind. And God says, you are dishonoring me by doing that. You're not giving me the honor that's due me. You're not giving me the reverence that is due me. Would you do your governor that way? What would your governor think if you were to bring him an offering like that? And so he finally says in verse 10, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. He says, I would much rather y'all just shut the doors to the temple, don't even bother with the sacrifices, because it's better that way than you giving me these defiled sacrifices. I don't want anything to do with it. Don't worship me in that way. Just stay home. Shut the doors. So main complaint number one is that of defiled sacrifices that they are bringing God. But what we also see here in the second chapter specifically is we have corrupt priests that are leading the people. The religious leaders are not doing their job. Chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Notice verse 3, the graphic nature of what he is going to do. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feast, and one will take you away with it. That's the New King James, refuse. I believe the ESV says dung or something like that, or other versions will say dung or awful. Basically, what is being referenced there is all the parts of the sacrifice that were to be burned, the insides, the entrails, the leftover pieces of the sacrifice. He says, I'm going to take that and I'm going to smear it all over your faces, because you are dishonoring me, you are not doing your job, these sacrifices mean nothing to me, and you are leading the people astray. Verse 6, or verse 5, my covenant was with him, that is the Levi, those in charge of the priesthood and of teaching the people. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me, so he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. That's the way it used to be. That's the way it was supposed to be. And he says in verse 7, the lips of priests should keep knowledge and people should seek the law from his mouth. That's the job of the priest. People should come to him for the truth, for the law. But you, here's the accusation in verse 8, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi. And so not only are the people coming and bringing the sacrifices that they should not bring, but the priests are offering them. They're right in cahoots with it, and they're not teaching the people. They're not doing their job. They're not condemning them. They're not rebuking them. They're not showing them what they should be doing them. They're not leading them in the right way. They have departed from the way themselves, and they're causing many others to stumble as well. And so judgment is coming upon the priest. That's a second complaint God has with his people. And then in verse 10 and following, there are two complaints that have to do with marriage. The first is that they are marrying foreign women. Verse 11 says, an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. It was part of the Israelite law. You do not marry foreign women. You do not marry foreign men. Why? Because they are pagans, because they are idolaters, and they're going to lead you astray. Now, it wasn't a blanket prohibition. If somebody wanted to convert to Judaism, wanted to worship Yahweh, then that's fine, and you can marry them at that point. But for those who were pagans, those who refused to adopt Judaism, refused to convert, you were not to marry those people. We saw that way early in the Israelite history, how Moses warned them, do not marry the Canaanites. You get rid of all the Canaanites. You destroy them all. You drive them out of your land because they are going to lead you astray. And over again, we have that problem throughout the Israelite history where they are marrying the daughters of foreign gods. You might recall that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, which were written about the same time and in the same time frame as Malachi, this post-exilic time frame, that this was a problem that they encountered at least twice. And Malachi is bringing this up as well. This is a thing that ought not to be done. And they tell the people when they find out what's going on that this is the very reason why we were carried away captive to Babylon in the first place. This was our downfall. It started with Solomon and all of his 700 wives and 300 concubines. And it just got worse from there. So God's complaining to them that they are not following his law yet again in regards to marrying foreign women. But there's something else in this chapter about marriage, and that is of divorce. Verse 13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Why aren't you accepting my sacrifice? What have I done now, God? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. God hates divorce. This is not a modern problem. This is an ancient problem. And this was a complaint that God had with his people. Even after all the judgment, even after the captivity, even after them being cured of idolatry, they still had these issues, these problems, and God lodges his complaints. One last complaint, and that is a lack of tithing found in chapter 3. Tithing was the process underneath the Mosaical system by which they would, by law, bring 10%, that's what tithe means, bring 10% of their income, of their produce, of anything that they have profited, they would bring 10% of that and offer it to God, to the Levites. It would support them, it would support the system, and it would be that of a return of thanks to God in the process. And yet they are robbing God. Verse 8 of chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You have robbed me, God says. Now, everything belongs to God. And yet what we have is we have these Israelites, these Jews, who are refusing to honor him by refusing to give back to him, back to his people, back to the priest, what was their rightful due. Selfishness and greed had taken hold. And they were not honoring God in the process. These are the main complaints. There are some other conversations that take place between God and the Jews in this book, but these are the ones that I want to look at tonight. So what is in this for us? We don't live in the Mosaical system, of course. We don't have the sacrifices that we need to bring to God, these animals, and we don't tithe like they do anymore. We don't have that law to where we are required to bring 10% of our offerings, or of our income, rather, of what we have earned. So what is it that here in the book of Malachi that would still be applicable and relevant to you and I today in the 21st century? I would say every bit of it. Every one of these has a principle or has an application to you and I today. And what we see is in these lessons that we're going to look at is that overall what has happened to these Jews is they are in a state of spiritual apathy. They just don't care anymore. They are not passionate about God. They are not passionate about following His law. They don't care if they do it right or not. They don't even know what's right.